call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to this very informal webinar on the initial report of the PDP Working Group on Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information, or TNT for short. This webinar is just an informal session. The two working group co-chairs, Chris Dillon and Rudi Wanznik, are going to give a brief overview of the working group's discussions and findings and the draft recommendation as they appear in the initial report. The initial report is open for public comment at the moment. The public comment will close on the 1st of February. There are links in the Adobe Connect room to the public comment forum and from where you can also find links to the initial report itself. And the webinar will then close with the question and answer session. And that will be it. We're proceeding no longer than 30 minutes overall. If my two co-chairs are on the call, I'd be welcoming you, and I believe I'd pass it over first to Chris, who will do the first section, and then he will pass on to Rudi for the remainder. Chris, over to you.
Thank you very much, Lars. I'll just change to the next slide. I don't seem to be able to do that. Lovely. Thank you very much. Start off by just reading our two main questions. So first of all, we've got whether it is desirable to translate contact information to a single common language or transliterate contact information to a single common script. Now, because this is quite a mouthful, eventually we decided that we'd more or less summarize that by, instead of saying translate or transliterate, we always say transform, we then sometimes talk about whether it should be translated or transliterated, but just to introduce some of the terminology. Then the second question is, who should decide who should bear the burden of translating contact information to a single common language or transliterating contact information to a single common script? There is quite a lot of background to this work, other work going on at the moment. So there's a commercial feasibility study on translation and transliteration, which is to inform this working group. And there's also an expert working group to determine the appropriate internationalized domain name registration data requirements. And we've been keeping in regular contact with these other work strands. And let's go to the next slide. Okay, this is just the timeline. So started in December 2013, and basically we are hoping to present the final report in May. That's really the summary of that one. We meet most Thursdays at 14 o'clock UTC, and anybody is very welcome to attend those calls. Next slide, please. Here we have the key arguments, and I'll just go through these briefly. In this version of the report, there are two sets of arguments. So one set is supporting mandatory transformation, and the other is opposing mandatory transformation. But there was a straw poll as a result of which the final report will only have one set of recommendations. But anyway, first of all, let me go through them, and then we'll make a couple of comments about them. So if we start on the supporting side, we've got this one about accessibility, basically. So mandatory transformation into a single script will allow for transparent, accessible, and arguably more easily searchable database. Then we have transformation would to some extent facilitate communication among stakeholders not sharing the same language. So, you know, whatever language would be used, if a single language is used, then that comes into play. Then, when WHOIS results are compared, it may be easier to ascertain whether the same registrant is the domain holder for different names, and that apparently is a key criterion for communities like the security community. So very often they are interested in, basically, is this the same organization? And that should become apparent if it's, or maybe it's easier to spot if it's in the same language. Last but not least, mandatory transformation would avoid possible flight by bad actors to the least translatable languages. I think so far there's been relatively little evidence of that sort of thing, but you know, certainly theoretically that is a possible. That is a possibility. Then if we cross over to the other side, we've got the arguments opposing mandatory transformation, and so basically it would be near impossible to achieve consistent accuracy in transforming all scripts and languages. It's possible to translate in more than one way. It's also possible to transliterate in more than way, and it all, you know, it all be correct. So, if we translate the Japanese word tadashi, we can translate it as either right or correct. It doesn't matter. And you know, again, if we use a Japanese example, often there are more than one transliteration system for a language, and so whether, you know, one transliteration system uses sh and another one uses sy, they're both right, but you know, that there are different possibilities. Other languages don't have a standard transliteration system at all, so everybody just you know, sort of behaves you know, depending on the context. So I think that's quite a strong argument. Accurate translation needs to be done manually and is expensive. Well, no doubt about that. Transliteration often is the same, depends on the language. In my opinion, the most weighty, the heaviest argument is this one. It's the financial burden could have negative impact on less developed regions. Then we have establishing clear rules may be complicated. Okay. So if we have a process going on, ideally it would be an intelligent process whereby somebody, the intelligent process would be able to look at Krung Thep, which is actually the Thai word for Bangkok, and say, well, this is a situation where we need to translate from Krung Thep to Bangkok, because otherwise, you know, Krung Thep, nobody knows what it is internationally. So in one situation, we definitely want a translation, but then the second situation there, northern capital, that is actually Beijing in Chinese, so Bei is northern and Jing is capital, but we really do not want translation there. So how do we make the machine intelligent enough to be able to tell the difference between those two situations? Last but not least, usability of transformed data is questionable because registered name holders unfamiliar with Latin script would, you know, really not be able to communicate in this, you know, even if it were used. All right, I've gone through that rather quickly. The reason is that I wanted to leave time for Rudy to do the next two slides on recommendations, so let me hand over to Rudy at this point.
Thank you, Chris. And first of all, I would like to thank Chris for the many, many hours he has been spending in exploring all the aspects that were needed to come up with a good report and have a clear view on all the language issues, as he is at that point a real specialist. So if we can move to the next slide, I can myself, yeah, okay, thank you. coming to the first key recommendation that are still preliminary, as we will see what we will get from the public comment period. The first one is that, as an answer to the two questions, and essentially the first question, first, the working group recommends that it is not desirable to make transformation, so translation and transliteration, of contact information mandatory. It's clear that those that are willing to do so, we are not going to stop them, as we know that in some countries, the language that registrars and registries are using for registering a domain name allow already some kind of translation. The next recommendation, number two, we know that based on what the expert working group has been doing and based on the knowledge of the new registration directory services database, the design today already does not really specify fields for registration of non-Latin script contact information. So we are recommending that there is enough consideration that in the future there would be enough data fields foreseen to capture non-Latin script contact information. Picking up what I see in the chat room, yes, Peter, indeed, the majority of the working group, and again, it's thanks to the, all the participants in the working group after many, many hours of debate and a lot of interaction that we came to this proposal, and this is indeed not yet a document that is final. We will produce that after we got all the comments in, and we'll see if that is going to push us in another direction, which I don't think so. That's at least my personal opinion. Number three in the recommendation list, it is in fact known that registration of a domain name is always going through a registrar, and as such, our working group is recommending that the registered name holders are entering their contact information in the language or script in the language that the registrar operates in. And I think it's important to be consistent with the information that is going into the database, that it is consistent with the platform where the registrant is enabled to enter all his contact, his or her contact information. Number four, it is clear that somehow it's a bit the responsibility of the registrar to verify that all the data is consistent, and as such, the working group is also recommending that the registrar, and of course the registry that is behind it, is assuring that the data fields are consistent and that the entered contact information are verified in accordance with the RAA, registrar agreements, and that the fields are correctly tagged to facilitate transformation if such would be needed or required. I think that's a point that relates also to the services that most often are asked by the law enforcement people that are willing to know if the data and the contact information that is available in the WHOIS is reflecting the real correct physical data also. And as such, we know what's, with what's going on in Europe, it is important to know who is behind the domain name. I'm moving to next slide, where we have recommendation number 5. It is clear that we are not objecting, and we could say we will promote the fact that voluntary transformation could be done or would be done. The working group recommends also that if registrars wish to perform transformation of contact information, that these data should be presented as additional fields, of course, as there is actually no clear definition of extending data fields in the WIS. So it would allow to have a correct reflection of all the data and to allow a maximum accuracy. We all know that transformation is just looking into Google Translation. It is quite dangerous to use automatic translation mechanisms. So it's better that the data would be entered as such in corresponding extra data fields that we as a working group are recommending to establish if such would be possible. Number 6, translation of data fields. That's indeed also important, and we know that today all the data in the WHOIS is in ASCII and in most of the times all in English. It is indeed important, and the working group is recommending that the field names of the domain name relay domain daemon, sorry, be translated into as many languages as possible. And again, that will reflect again the process of the RDS in the future. And the last key recommendation is non-recommendation for Charter Question 2. As we have this important second question of the Charter, looking for who will bear the burden of the translation or transliteration, it is clear if we are giving the recommendation that it is not mandatory, this question, in fact, can be easily answered as, okay, there is no reason of creating any burden, any cost, as this is not a mandatory fact. So I've been through the 7 key recommendations, and I think it's important that those having ideas or suggestions that there is still the possibility to engage bring up information and eventually comments by going through the public comment platform. We will end the public comment period the 1st of February, and we'll take up all that information and come back to the public in Singapore during the Singapore meeting. And you see also that on this slide you find addresses to access the platform to eventually require access to the mailing list or to this working group. Everybody is and we would enjoy having many more participants for the next last stage we have to do. And if you want to join, you can just send a mail to gnso-sex@icann.org, and you will be followed up quite rapidly. I think with that, I've come to the end of this first presentation. And I think it's good if we can open up now the Q&A and try to help giving the required answers as we go on. So I will hand over again to Lars, who is going to moderate this part of the session.
Thank you, Rudy. Yes, not a lot of moderation needed, I think. I think there were a few questions in the Adobe chat that have been addressed already. If there's anybody else got any questions, if you want to raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room. I don't see any at the moment. Just to let you know that the working group will be meeting face-to-face in Singapore as well. If anybody who's not part of the group and would like to join discussions there and meet the members and maybe also then get an idea and overlook of the public comments that have been submitted, because by that time the forum will be closed and there will be the working group will discussing the comments received. And otherwise, Rudy has raised his hand. I'll pass it back to him. And otherwise, I will speak to Rudy.
Yes, thank you, Lars. Rudy speaking. I think it's important also, and I would like to thank Peter Nelson for addressing the GAC and ask the GAC members to try to participate in these sessions. And made it a good idea to have and to reach out to the other SOs and ACs in Singapore, if there is any possibility of finding some time slots which allows us to do so, to eventually have the chance to have a good interaction on eventual extra arguments so that the recommendations could have a really good founding ground for passing through later on for voting. So that's what I wanted to add to what I said before.
Thank you, Rudy. Chris, any last words from you? Do you want to close it off?
Well, in fact, I was just about to pick up something that's been discussed in the chat room, and it was, in fact, as Steve Metlitz picked it up, but it was a comment I wanted to make anyway, so I thought I would pick it up. And it is just that recommendation number 6 runs something like, if there are actors wanting to transform, then they should be free to do so. But in the chat room, of course, it was picked up that how would that work? Because actually, if we already know that transformation is difficult, whether you go the translation route or you go the transliteration route. Now, transformation being done by lots of different actors in lots of different ways. That really sounds like quite a few quite difficult issues. So I really just wanted to flag up that there is a sort of slight tension between saying people should be free to transform unless there is some way of control, some way of standardizing that transformation. And standardizing it is really not very easy. So that's really just a point I wanted to pick up.
Thank you, Chris. I think that Arma has raised his hand as well. Arma?
Thanks, Lars. Thanks, Chris. This is Arma. I think Chris is absolutely correct in what he said. However, we did also... discuss and sort of pretty much come to the conclusion that given the complications in transforming contact information, the same complications may not be true in transforming the labels for the data fields in the RDS. This might be a considerably simpler job to achieve consistency in. And so we may have a different recommendation on that as opposed to transforming the actual contact information. So I just wanted to make that very clear and hope Steve and others can provide some input on this during the public comment period. Thanks.
Thanks, Anna. Rudy has his arm up as well.
Yes, thanks, Lars, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, I think that technically, the translation of the labels of the fields, it's a one-off run. So it's something that can, I think, easily be decided, and maybe it's good if we could indeed try to enforce a little bit that aspect as a strong recommendation, enabling the possibility for the registrants to understand what is meant by some fields. As we know, not everybody is a native English speaker, and sometimes it is not so easy to understand what is required as information when you have to fill in forms on a web space, and especially when it's going into the more responsive device ways where you have rather small screens. I think it would indeed be good to highlight the fact that for the RDS in the future, the labels of the fields should be in as many languages as possible, and certainly at least in the six UN ones.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rudy, and everyone else who's contributed to the discussion. Thank you, Chris and Rudy, for the presentation. If there's no further questions, I'll close the webinar. As been pointed out before, this will be posted on the GNSO master calendar with a link where you can review this and look at the Adobe Connect Room recording. So you'll see the slides in there too, and obviously that you can pass on to your respective groups and communities. Other than that, I can only encourage you to join us in Singapore, or even better, join the working group. We're meeting every Thursday at 14 UTC. And if you want to become a member, just drop a line to the GNSO Secretariat email. Thank you very much, and see you all in Singapore, if not before. Bye-bye from me.
Goodbye from Chris, too.
Thank you, guys.
And to finalize also, thanks to Lars and Julie for the tremendous work they have been doing to assisting us as co-chairs in doing our job. Thanks again.
Absolutely.